It's time for the Unnecessary Roughing Podcast. With your hosts, Ted Hefner.
So humongous big.
Kevin Razumovich.
The Kings wanted to set up Stahl, and he got two hummers.
And Dan Gould.
Luckily, it was Mike Mato shooting the puck, so he can't hurt a fly with that shot, so it was all good.
Talking about the New Jersey Devils and the NHL.
No celebration when you score goal.
All right, here we are. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I am Ted Hefner. With me today is Kevin Razumovich, as always. And we have another special guest tonight.
Oh, man.
Dan Gould, say hello.
All right, how are you, everybody? I know it's been so long since I've seen you.
This is a pretty good streak you got going.
Record-setting streak.
What is
four
it,
four? Straight times.
Wow.
Man, I am... I've made, what's that, 5 out of 6?
No, this would be 6
this
out of 7.
This is our 7th
if you showed up podcast. if you showed up for every episode, you'd know how many we've done so far.
I've only missed one.
Yeah, well, you missed the big one.
Yeah, we just get the sense that you just don't seem to care about this podcast.
Well, actually, with stats that you revealed before we went live here, how many subscriptions do we have our first episode?
We had, no, I don't want to say online, on air.
All right.
It's for us to know.
All I know is there was a significant drop after the first one, and I assume it's because I wasn't here.
Everybody was here for the second episode, buddy.
No, I missed the second.
No, you
no,
missed
it
the
was
third.
The third. Yeah. I call it episode 2 and 3. 2 and 3.
All right, well, that backfired.
Two and two-thirds.
in defense of Dan Gould, he doesn't have electricity out of his house, so he can't even charge his...
I was going to say, case in point, you're 1 for 7 in bringing the tools required for this podcast.
All right, so I'm getting like a half a score for... not tardiness. Attendance.
And intensity.
I'm feeling a boo coming on pretty soon for you.
I don't think Ted's just going to hand that out just because you want it.
I can't after you call it. I just can't.
I'm just
do
saying,
it. I want to.
Feeling it getting on. It's coming soon.
I don't know.
You got ahead of yourself. Is that Cartman?
That is Al Troutwig.
Oh. I thought it was fucking Cartman saying, get away, kitty. Don't watch South Park? Okay.
Brutal call. But here we are. Since we last recorded, Devils are 1-1.
Before we get on, we apologize for iTunes sucking. Episode 6 somehow just went up today, even though we uploaded it.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. So we apologize to those of you who are just listening to episode 6 now.
Yeah,
but the Devils 1-1 since we last spoke. 4-2 loss to San Jose,
which is a game that they really should have at least came out with at least a point.
Yeah,
and again, could have jumped within 1 point of a playoff spot and failed to do so. It just seems that every time they get within a few points, they. It's a, you know, big game comes up and they can't put it together.
Well, that's, you know, even with the San Jose game, though, you know, as much as you want them to come out of that with a point, last night was one of their biggest wins probably of the season.
Well, yeah, it was a must win.
What was realistically a must win game against Detroit.
Pull
that out.
A big home and home against Detroit, being that one of the teams we're chasing, and really pulled it out at the end. Gianta with the deflection, 6.6 seconds left to give Devils to go ahead goal and win. So,
which means he's probably never going to come out of the lineup.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve to.
No, I'm just... It's going to be another 6 years until Pete DeBoer, you know, falls out of love with him since he scored a goal.
Adam Henry, 5 goals in 4 games.
Still hot.
Still hot playing on the left wing there with Eliash. Eliash has also been heating up since the break.
That damn Henrik. He's so hot right now.
So, Martin Brodeur played in net in that game. I only saw one of the goals he let up, and I thought it was pretty brutal. It was the second goal.
Who had the second goal for? Oh, I think I missed that one actually. I think you had also told me though that you thought it was bad, Ted.
It was just it beat him short side blocker, and he for some reason didn't get his blocker down.
It was savable.
This was not the power play one, was it?
No.
I said, because the power play one I thought was fine. In fact, I thought Salvador really blew his assignment there.
It was like 3-on-2. Like, I mean, the man was wide open in the slot, so which really wasn't anybody's fault. It was a 3-on-2, but it was still not a great shot. It wasn't like he put it bar down. He put it low to the blocker side, and Marty was square to the shot and just didn't have his arm in position.
Shot above the pad in goalie defense is really considered like the hardest shot to stop.
Yeah,
but again, it's the NHL level.
And when you're square to the shooter, sorry, you really shouldn't get beat by too many shots.
But that's, again, I disagree with that. I mean, I didn't see the goal, but I'm just saying from a goalie coaching perspective, especially, and also almost to flip-flop my own point, at the NHL level, if a shooter has a shot dead up the middle in the slot, how far out would you say it was?
He was at, like, the face-off dots, like...
That's, yeah, the release speed there, that to take a shot that's just that 12 inches off the ice, you know, outside of the body, which is almost has nothing to do with the angle at that point. It's more to do with depth. That is, I'll give Brodeur credit, and that's definitely a tough shot to stop in that scenario.
I understand what you're saying.
That's considered the goal scorer shot. As much as everybody gets, you know, hard-ons for the bar downs and post-ins.
There was a defenseman and a forward to the left of Brodeur, which took away that shot. So the shooter only had one spot to go, and they're short side. And, I mean, when you get a chance to watch it, it was a shot that Marty should have probably had.
Fair enough.
But...
End of potential argument.
Whatever.
whatever.
They won the game. I mean, not to pile on Marty here.
Well, with that win...
But that son of a bitch.
I think you're getting ahead of
the program. Yeah. That's a prelude.
But where the Devils stand now, 67 points, played 63 games.
2 points out.
Which is... For that wild card slot, Columbus is currently holding it with 69 points. Columbus has the tiebreaker in row. They've also got a game at hand over the Devils, and so does everybody else who they're trying to jump.
It's really,
Detroit has two games.
Yeah,
at
it's
hand.
Not going to be an easy climb. You basically need to beat out two of those teams. I think it is.
Yeah.
But you for the rest of the season here, you need to have two more wins than at least two teams. Right.
Well, we have three other teams. Or two or three other teams ahead of us,
so maybe it's
really
three.
In the standings, for that have the tiebreaker or have at least a game in hand that we're tied with in points. Detroit's one of them, and
well, Detroit is sitting at 68 points. Washington 68 points.
Yeah, so they have a point ahead of us.
We have the row over them, but they're not sitting in a playoff spot right now.
But those games against Columbus, I think there's two of them that Devils had dropped to Columbus. And one of them, I think we had a lead. I think we had a 3-1 lead or something.
I think that was one of the worst games of the season, if I remember.
Yeah,
correctly.
Yeah, that was a third period comeback. I think it was right.
I can.
We also you're saying this was against Columbus.
This was against Columbus.
They also had a game like that against Edmonton earlier.
Yeah, that one was a 4-0 collapse, wasn't it? I believe it was a 4-0 collapse in the.
As far as the third period,
yeah, it went to overtime and they lost in overtime. But I think
they lost 5-4.
Yeah,
against
but those
the
are the
Columbus.
Only two games they lost after the second period. I think they're 5-1-1 leading after the second period.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I saw that graphic the other night. In the game against Columbus. So they're not terrible when they're leading after two, but those were two collapses that
I think the record's actually, maybe I'm wrong, but I know that I'd seen something about that earlier. Yeah, he may, even maybe before the Olympics, and I think they're actually better than 5-1.
It might be. I forget what I know. I they had only lost two games.
Yeah,
so.
they're doing actually very good in that regard.
Yeah,
just two major collapses.
But the power play kind of, I mean, went 4-for-8 against the Islanders after the break. They had a big game against Columbus, and they kind of fell off the last two games. Obviously, playing San Jose, one of the best teams in the league.
You can't expect them to stay at that kind of a pace, though.
No, I mean, but
usually a power play is going to be. I mean, how many power plays did they have last night? It wasn't a ton.
They had one goal. One for three, maybe.
What I found frustrating about that power play, though, is it kind of seems like the only time that power play is going is when Jelena is on the ice.
Yeah,
yet, for whatever reason, he's on the second unit of the power play.
Yeah.
He's the guy creating almost all your offense.
Yeah. So
Outside of Jaromir Jagr.
They have a lot of trouble getting the puck into the zone, getting set up. You know, once the puck gets cleared down, they have a really hard time getting the puck into the zone.
Kind of on that note, someone that I think, not just on the power play, but who's actually fallen off a considerable amount from the start.
To number two?
No.
Oh.
I'm actually going to say number six.
Oh,
Mr. Andy Green.
He's been slumping the last few games.
Yeah, he seems to have fallen
off quite a bit. He made that giveaway.
How bad was that?
Yeah. San Jose game? Oh, my God.
But that's par for the course for Andy Green, because last year he did it. He started off, he was having a good season, then he slumped, and then he played well again, and then he slumped again. And I believe 2 years ago, the same thing. He
just seems, it's not necessarily even a slump. Like, he started out amazing and held it for a fair amount of time, and it's been slowly declining.
The thing that worries me about Andy Green is not only does his point production tail off after a while, but it affects his whole game. Defensively, he struggles, which he's been going through for the last little bit.
Well, what I think you're seeing with Andy Green is he's a great defenseman in the NHL, but he's a great number two defenseman, and since he's expected to be the number one on this team, I think he's forced to play a little over his head, where if you had another guy that would take most of the pressure off, I think he'd be able to sustain a better season.
Yeah.
I think he has to do too much right now.
With the way Jelena and Merrill have played since the Olympic break, how good are they going to look in 5 years?
I think Merrill, since even maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even prior to the Olympic break,
yeah.
He just really seems to
more specifically Jelena, because he hadn't played a whole lot before the break, but since the break, since he come back, he's been really good.
Even, you know what though, I understand he's by no means good defensively, but every time he's in the lineup, he always seems to be finding a way to contribute offensively. And I never quite understood why I get that you send him down. I understand what you're looking for when you do it. But I just feel like when someone's adding that much to your lineup, as he's consistently done when he's been here, to send him down at all, it's almost you're taking away from the team. It's not necessarily even...
Well, every, like, analyst that has talked about Jelena, everybody said the same thing, that what he brings offensively far outweighed his defensive gaffes, and they couldn't
believe
they sent him down.
Yeah. I think in the last four games he's looked better defensively.
I haven't had a problem with his defensive game since coming back.
No, I think and Kowalski said he looks just like an NHL defenseman, and maybe he was referring to that. I don't know, but defensively, he has not been a liability yet, really.
What's
his third stint with the team this year?
Yeah, and two of the games they dominated, the Islander game and the Columbus game. I think Devils really, really dominated those two games. But the last two against San Jose, I think he looked pretty good, and they had no chance of dominating that game because they were playing San Jose.
So, looking forward, they've got the game against the Red Wings on Friday. Must-win game. And then after that, they play the next night against Carolina. Then they have the Flyers, Panthers, Lightning, Bruins to bring you up to the middle of March.
I mean, pretty pretty tough stretch, important stretch. I mean, yeah, the Florida Panthers shouldn't be too much of a challenge.
It seems like the Lightning have been slipping, too.
Well, yeah. They may be now. Today certainly did not help them.
Actually, today was probably the best day of the entire season for them.
For Tampa Bay?
Yeah. This guy, number 91, Steven Stamkos, got full medical clearance to return to action.
I would hardly, as good as that is, I would hardly call it the best day of the season for them.
I don't know. He kind of scores a lot of goals.
Also, the guy that is a big factor to that, who gets him that puck, is now gone. Martin St. Louis.
And that guy, I think he's led the NHL in scoring for cumulative 4 years now. So and I don't know how that could be the greatest.
That was a big word.
He also won.
I really struggled with that.
He won some kind of award last year. I don't really know what it was for, though.
Well, but before we jump ahead to that.
Sorry.
I thought that was a great transition into the next discussion.
Yeah, we're just shunning your point right now. We opened the trade talk with the first trade. That's right, you get booed.
It throws you off, doesn't it?
Thank you. Boy, I'm unnerved.
I think that may have been the first time someone got booed other than me.
No.
I think I've booed, like, people not, like, directly in this room.
Now,
like Martin Brodeur.
Okay. Now, here's actually a complete side note here. Do you ever plan to boo yourself, like, if you feel shame or anything?
Why the fuck would I do that? I'm on the soundboard.
That's probably not
everything I do is great.
Like, so
that's the benefit of controlling the soundboard.
Well, I was gonna say, so Kevin and I are never going to get a soundboard or anything like that?
No.
It's up to you guys. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not going to give you a sound. I'm not going to be like, hey, here's an iPad with soundboard loaded up. Have fun. My gift to you.
Martin Brodeur, after all the hoopla over the last few days, still a New Jersey Devil.
Yeah, he must be heartbroken.
Oh, no, it was media hype. It was media hype.
Yeah.
Tickets for last night's game had gotten up to $250 a ticket before the Ilya Bryzgalov trade to Minnesota Wild, and they dropped off substantially to about $40 a ticket.
Man, hey, good thing you and I went for free, huh, Ted?
Yeah, I wouldn't have paid that.
No.
Yeah, so, yeah, apparently, according to Lou Lamoriello, the trade rumors around Martin Brodeur were media-created.
How can you say that when there were direct comments from Martin Brodeur saying that he was looking for somewhere to play?
Or when there was a list of 8 teams
that
handed
he submitted
in to him and said, here, trade me right freaking now.
Yeah, but it really must have been like Tom Galitti, you know, from the Bergen Record, walking up to him saying, do you have any teams you'd like to be traded in? Brodeur giving him a list of 8 teams.
Yeah. I don't know how you can say that if you're Lou Lamoriello. I think it's just him not wanting to embarrass Brodeur. Like, he can't come out and say, oh, by the way, those 8 contending teams that
don't
you wanted
want
to go to
you.
Did not want you in your .899 save percentage.
Yeah, that was
and
probably
you're 42
it.
Years of age and your expiring contract.
Oh, and your shitty fucking attitude.
Oh, yeah. He's not opposed to signing an extension with the Devils.
I'm sure now he's not opposed at all, because they might be one of the few teams that would take a flyer on him. Like, look at how many goaltenders
I almost questioned, though. Do you really think that he stays here next year?
I don't think he would have many options.
Neither do I.
Outside of that, if he wants to play.
At some point, they have to.
Because look at how many goaltenders were available at the trade deadline. Look at all the guys that moved.
Oh, he's calling Ilya Kovalchuk right now. You guys have a team on, there's spot on your team for me?
Yeah. What's St. Petersburg like, you know, this time of year?
Yaromir, can you sign me to your team in Czech Republic, please?
He hasn't won a, what is it called? Gagarin Cup, something like that?
Yeah,
the KHL.
Yeah, that's the KHL one.
Yeah.
Named after like a cosmonaut or something? Oh, it is. It is.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm gonna Google that.
But
why are you Googling it if you already know it?
He wants to prove it to us and then boo us.
And we're back. Sorry about that, everybody.
What the fuck was that?
Elevator music.
Why?
I don't know. We couldn't think of anything to talk about.
So now I have editing to do. Thanks.
Yes, you're welcome.
I figured that you could just leave it like that.
I think that's pretty shitty. You guys easily could have just, like, continued the conversation.
I tried to. He's an idiot. He's not dedicated like
that. You're trying to was, well.
I was getting to a point.
You said, like, six times before an actual word came out.
So what were you guys talking about before you gave up?
We were trying to continue with the Martin Brodeur saga. If Brodeur gets an extension offer or a contract offer from Lou Lamoriello, what does that do to Corey Schneider?
It certainly, I don't think, at this point, I didn't necessarily buy into this before, but now I really do believe that it doesn't increase the chances of him re-signing.
And
by
the way, Pete DeBoer coming out and saying today, Schneider is not our number one. He was just been on a run.
Well, and that's a gong show, too. That's not even true.
Yeah, that's horseshit. He's been the number one goalie in the NHL since January 1.
Well, don't you know, like, it's very easy to turn around and say, like, that he went on a run, but you're going to tell me that the guy who in that time span basically became one of the best goalies in the NHL for this season is not your number one goalie for a guy who's got an .899 save percentage?
Yeah, yes. To appease Marty's ego, we're gonna give you everyone the lip service and tell him what Marty wants to hear.
What doesn't help is that for whatever reason, the scoring seems to still come easier to Martin Brodeur starts and does Schneider, which isn't helping the case. Like, if they would just score, you know, as often as they did for Schneider, then there wouldn't even be a conversation of who's to start.
And the funny part, too, is watching this, you know, all these games, last night, case in point, Brodeur doesn't have a connection to these goals. They don't even necessarily shoot more when he's in the net or anything like that. It's almost pure coincidence.
It is, and I'm shocked that it's carried on this through the season this long.
I think the team realizes they're not going to get the big saves from Marty like they used to, so they have to make their shots count more.
I don't know. I think it's coincidence.
Yeah,
it's a
long coincidence. It's been all season.
I mean, I don't think that anyone in the NHL is taking a shot in their that current state of mind thinking, man, this shit better go in. Because of the goalie that's in net.
I mean, look at the goals they scored last game with Marty in net. I wouldn't say how many of those goals were just like a clean, you know, snipe. I mean, most of it was deflections or Detroit. I mean, two of the goals Detroit knocked in themselves. So I don't think it's I don't think Martin Brodeur has that kind of effect on the team.
By the way, I saw a couple comments from fans about how sick the Zajac goal was and how amazing it was. No.
I thought that was a great goal.
I thought it was pretty impressive.
It was a pretty good goal, but
that's tough to do.
Yeah, but
backhanding it like that as you're moving away from the net.
They made it seem like it was like the Drew one where he was on his stomach and backhanded it top shelf.
No.
Oh, yeah,
from
no,
the goal
nothing
line.
Nothing like that.
But that was the vibe I got from some of the comments I'd read about it. It was okay. Wasn't that great? So the Devils did not move Marty Brodeur today, but they did have a little action in the trade deadline.
Oh, yes.
Making a real blockbuster trade. They moved Lochtionov.
Yeah, fan favorite, Andrei Lochtionov.
And a conditional third round pick to the Carolina Hurricanes for star-studded goal scorer Tuomo Ruutu,
who signed for 2 years. What is it, 4.75?
Yeah, 3.75 for
hey,
the Devils.
Hey, Carolina retained 20%
of
that salary.
$1 million, right?
What a deal.
So, watch out.
Well,
Lou's wheeling and dealing.
And listen, again, while no one's going to sit here and lament over the loss of Andrei Lochtionov, you replaced him with basically a bigger, slower version of himself. Production-wise, it's...
That really should be the only thing you're focusing on when trading for a forward right now is production, not intangibles.
At this stage, especially for a team like the Devils that have, I honestly think that our forward core, if they're good at anything, it's that they're loaded with intangibles.
Yeah.
Yeah, your zoomers and your clothes. Like,
the whole thing is, Lou says, like, he brings grit, and we needed more of that on this team.
No. No, we don't.
No. We need more finesse.
We need more finesse skill. And more scoring, and you made a lateral move. And but you gave up too the, much for that lateral move.
It was a lateral move in your lineup, and as far as the extra that you gave up in that third-round pick, you're losing an asset. There's no reason why that move couldn't, especially because it was a salary dump essentially for Carolina, even though they retained.
I can't believe we gave up.
There's
no
reason. Yeah, there's no reason to give up that pick. None.
No, it was really, really stupid.
And the fact that Lou had to reach into 2017 to go get a draft pick says to me, we are really hurting for assets to trade.
Yeah.
So, and you can say that. It's 2017. We'll worry about it then. That's the exact kind of thinking that got you into the situation where you don't have any assets now.
And our depth at forward, goal scorers, is non-existent. You know, the only depth we really have is at defense. And we're going to be really hurting for a few years.
Well, that's the problem is that, I mean, for the last 15, 20 years, Lou's always been trading our picks to make our teams better, our playoff teams better. Now he's still doing the same thing in hopes to getting into the playoffs. So I think it's got to stop now. Now that we're less than a bubble team, I don't know how you can keep, you know, trading away futures in hopes to push into the playoffs.
Maybe develop
your talent a little better so that way you're in a playoff position.
Well, and that's one thing that's really kind of grinded my gears is we don't even the talent that we have.
Grinded your gears.
It took that straight from Family Guy. We don't seem to even develop the talent we have.
Look at our forward group and how many guys have come via like free agency and trade. I mean,
your homegrowns are Patrick Elias,
Zajac,
and they've
Steven Gionta.
They've gotten away from the Scott Gomez. They've gotten away from like the Scott Gomez, Brian Gionta, John Madden type of thing.
Those guys. I mean, and the guys do pan out, most of them seem to walk away once they hit free agency.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one thing I will say for this trade is if by some miracle they get into the playoffs, I think the extra grit makes this a tougher team to play in the playoffs.
Sure. But it's so odd, though, because you have guys like Zubers who turns it on the playoffs. Ryan Clough's a guy you want on your team in the playoffs.
Well, and that's...
Michael Ryder will do his thing. I think in the playoffs, Michael Ryder seems to not be as streaky as he is in the regular season.
Yeah.
Henrique's also another a big-time performer in big games,
you know what,
as
though?
We've seen.
One thing that, despite Lou's calling of the Brodeur situation, media created, basically calling it fiction, which is a load of horseshit, he acknowledged for a large chunk of the year that this team desperately needed scoring help. He said it several times. And so the trade deadline comes, and now his biggest concern is team grit on a team that's got Carter, Bernier, Clough, Zubris. You could even put Gionta in that mix, even though he's small.
Well, I mean, the whole team outside of Jager and Ryder and Brunner and Elias, they're all grinders.
Yeah.
For forward. So, I mean, how many more do you need? It's frustrating.
To say the least.
And, I mean, there were so many talented forwards available. David Legwan, Lee Stempniak.
Let's talk about some names that are out there still. Chris Stewart, who was not traded. If you want to go for a grinder, maybe that guy.
He'll probably.
If you want grit, he'll put the puck in. Guy's a natural goal scorer. On the third line, I think he had 15 goals for St. Louis.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's in a top six position, he can hit the 30 mark.
Dustin Penner went for a fourth round pick, another guy who can certainly put the puck in the net.
And look at a guy like
have grit.
What was the Vanek trade? What did it cost?
It was Thomas Vanek and a conditional fifth round pick for Sebastian Kolberg, a former second round pick.
Yep.
And a 2014 conditional second.
So think about that. Right? And then you take a guy like Mike Camilleri, a a bona fide goal scorer who wasn't traded, mm-hmm. but certainly lower on the totem pole than Vanek is. And you, so you know that the asking price for a guy like Camilleri had to have been lower than what it was from Vanek. It had to have been.
Yeah.
Which pushes it eerily close to what we paid for fucking Ruutu.
I mean, also, Matt Molson went, I mean, with Cody McCormick, but
see,
went
I thought
Mitchell
the,
and 2 seconds.
See, I thought the Molson trade was probably the closest to true fair value, something I'd expect of what we saw today.
True, but I'm saying we couldn't have made an offer like that to get
With what Thomas Vanek went for?
Well,
to get Matt Molson, who's the 30 goal scorer.
Well, the thing,
multiple
young
years.
Guy, yeah.
My perspective is I don't think you really can make that offer if you're the Devils. I think it's dumb to, especially for a guy who's a rental.
Well, we made a deal.
But
so if you're going to do that,
but that's what I'm saying.
Spend a little more and get Thomas
exactly.
Vanek.
If you're going to make
you
a stupid
make
the, deal,
you still made a trade. You made a dumb one. You could have at least made it count if you were going to give up those assets.
Plus, with the Thomas Vanek one, Montreal doesn't have to give up like. They don't have to give up the pick if they don't make the playoffs.
And they're close to not making the playoffs.
So that would have been like us trading Reed Boucher and a second-round pick for Thomas Vanek.
Now, here was my point
earlier. I would have done that.
Yeah.
Here was my point earlier. If you're going to make a pick that's not going to help your team, or even if you want to say it helps the team marginally, if you're going to make a pick, a trade like that, don't do anything at all. Unless you're going to seriously upgrade this team, don't do anything at all.
Oh,
stay with what you have.
Especially because you're so short on assets.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have it, you might as well keep what you got.
Talking about the Vanek trade, how terrible is Garth Snow? I mean, he traded Matt Molson, a first-round pick, and was it a second?
Yeah, he got nothing close to what he paid.
And so in return, he got, Sebastian Kohlberg, maybe a second-round pick?
Yeah. That was the Islanders.
Buffalo makes out like gangbusters.
Yeah. That was the Islanders swinging for the fences to try and get them back to the playoffs. And
how do you not get more than that when he's the top, when he's one of the top guys coming into trade deadline?
I have to say, though, I've never been all that impressed with Vanek in comparison to a guy like Molson. Vanek just doesn't seem to bring a lot to your... he's not going to create a lot on his own, I don't think.
I totally disagree.
See, I just...
I think that's his game. He's a little streaky about it.
That's more what I mean there.
He's one of the best players at creating his own offense.
See, I just don't think... The streakiness is probably a lot more what I'm looking at. I just don't see him compared to a guy like Molson. Molson just seems to be more consistently effective.
Right.
So I do think a guy like Molson, and you kind of saw it as he crept toward the trade deadline, that Molson was almost overtaking Vanek in the hype and, how many teams wanted him and who wanted him.
And
role he was
one
served.
Of the things I really was surprised about Molson when he got traded from the Islanders to Buffalo was I was worried about what would happen to his production not playing with Tavares and
if you have a center for him to play with, it's nothing you should worry about.
Now in Minnesota, I think he's going to do quite well.
He'll probably do fine.
I don't know.
I think he'll do better than he did in Buffalo.
I was really actually hoping.
For sure.
I don't think he was. I thought in Buffalo he was pretty good considering what he was playing with.
I was really actually hoping for Vanek to go to Minnesota today too, so that Minnesota really could have made out with getting Vanek and Molson.
See, I wasn't in that. I don't want to see Zach Parise have any success.
I don't,
ever.
But I just opened something for me to chuckle about.
Well, I wouldn't be opposed to that, especially if they say they re-sign Molson. And sounds like that's where Thomas Vanek wants to go anyway. At some point, you're not going to have room, or you're not going to be able to afford that young talent, and maybe some of those guys would become available.
Yeah, yeah, because they have a lot of money tied up between two players.
And then they signed Pominville. Mikko Koivu is signed long-term. And then if you pick up Thomas Vanek, too. I mean, the money's got to come from somewhere.
Well, and backtracking a little bit here, too, but as far as what he was traded for and going back to Garth Snow, do you think the reason that he was traded for so little was because Snow just panicked? And
I think he dropped the ball. I think he waited too long. I think And it kind of seemed like it was like, you know, it was getting – it felt like – I mean, I don't know if this
there
happened.
There had to have
but,
been a better offer on the table at some point today.
Oh, I bet there was. I bet there was a better offer a week ago.
Yeah, I think so.
But
I think
he held out too
right.
long, and then it was probably nearing the deadline, and well, he's like, shit, I can't
– You heard about
I
the – you heard you know, about Molson for him. Being traded before you heard about Vanek being traded, and that's one that's got to affect the other. So yeah. It was a get rid of him now. But at the same time, it goes back to kind of the devil's thing. Don't get rid of him at all. You still have him until the July 5th date. You just move him before then. Move him with the draft. You probably get more than what you got now.
No,
you don't think so?
No, absolutely not.
You don't think that draft even
just
though
it, rights to sign him? No, you don't get anything for that kind.
No.
Of
hear me out. But with what you're going to say, like where you're granting permission for that agent to probably talk beforehand, and then you get the right fit that you couldn't have gotten a second round pick and a prospect like you got today.
Oh fuck no, absolutely not.
No.
Really?
Not to talk for rights. No.
And he's
especially
a guy,
now, because now there's a window.
Didn't Brian Ralston get a second round pick for rights?
Yeah, but Brian Ralston didn't come out and say, I'm going to sign here, and that's the end of the story.
Quite
that's
honestly,
Thomas Vanek came
neither
out
is
said.
Thomas Vanek.
Yes, but he did.
When? It's purely speculation. Don't get me wrong. I won't doubt if he goes there.
There were reports of him saying that he's more than likely wants to sign in Minnesota next
season. If they have quotes from him, by all means, bring him up. But
I heard it today that either him or his agent said that's where they want to play next year.
It's going to depend largely, too, on Minnesota. They're not, money just doesn't grow on trees, especially say they re-sign Molson.
Yeah.
What do you think Molson will want?
They clearly pushed harder for him than they did Vanek, I would think.
Yeah, I think
just judging off the difference in the offers that each were traded for.
Yeah, I mean, also who knows too what Snow wanted for Vanek at the time that Minnesota was dealing with him, and also too like if it kind of sounds like they have Vanek locked in the bag if they want him come the off season.
Yeah, I would just think that they may be a little bit worried about the price tag on that. And that's probably why they lean to a guy like Molson. Anyway, you know you're getting what's close to as good of a player for probably a considerable amount cheaper.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't doubt Vanek asking for $6 million plus.
Yeah,
but Molson making $3.9 million this year, I think he's going to push for six or more.
I bet you he gets in the five range.
That's where I would say.
Because he's just going to play second fiddle to Vanek just for name for some reason.
He's also...
I don't think
he
deserves it.
Matt Molson is a very good complimentary player. Vanek is a little more than that.
He played in the shadow of Tavares. And
I wouldn't say he played in the shadow. I think Tavares, you know,
wasn't
propelled
it,
him into
yeah, but how much
relevance.
Talk, how much talk did you hear about him until last season?
A fair amount, especially his breakout year. I thought you heard about him a fair amount.
That was the pairing. It was Molson and Tavares.
On Vanek, though, I want to bring it to. Wasn't Vanek's career high the year that after he had signed the extension that was when Edmonton offer sheeted him?
And
if it was, I'm pretty sure too that was
no,
it was not. When is that?
His career high was his sophomore season. He had 84 points, 43 goals.
Well, okay, and was that the same year that they won the President's Trophy? What year was that?
I don't know. I don't know Buffalo.
And this is where, again,
06, 07.
I really do think that Vanek is also best served in a complimentary role, quite honestly. And that was definitely when Briere and Drury were in their heyday in Buffalo.
I guess, but, I mean, the guy has put up consistent offense on a team where those guys were gone, and it was pretty much the Thomas Vanek show, him and Pominville, and that was about it. Pominville's
my point is
not
that
the
number certainly
player.
Dropped, right?
Not really, not substantially.
He's never been more than a point per game guy, though.
No, how many guys are like that in the league? They don't grow on trees. Is Matt Molson a fucking point per game player?
No, I'm not even talking about him.
Fucking damn it!
I'm saying that I don't think that Thomas Vanek is all that different than Matt Molson, quite honestly.
I disagree. I think it's a lot harder to find a skilled forward like that than it is a Matt Molson type.
I just think I would not be looking at Thomas Vanek as the centerpiece to an offense if I was just out trying to build a team.
And you would with Matt Molson?
No, again, I'm saying that they're equal.
I think you take it to two extremes. Where no, I'm not saying you're signing Thomas Vanek to be your go-to forward, but I think he's a better forward than Matt Molson.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't. Yes, but I don't think it's by much at all.
Okay.
Not by a whole lot, but you really saw that.
Well, and you saw
Molson's play did drop off when he went to Buffalo. Not a whole lot, but it did drop off because he didn't have anybody.
How great was Vanek's play in Buffalo with the little bit he was there this year? I bet you. I don't know what the numbers are, but I bet you they're very comparable.
4 goals, 5 assists in 13 games. So
that's
9 points in 13 games. He had 44 points in 47 games for
44 and 47.
Yeah,
so Molson had a little bit of better year when he. And granted, it's a very small sample for Vanek for the season.
Molson had 29 points in 44 games for Buffalo.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, so
all right, never mind. We mixed that up then.
So right. Vanek was better, almost a point per game in both places.
Well, wait, you're saying how do you get to a point per game all better?
I said almost a point per game in both. In both places he played.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you said he was almost a point per game better than most.
No. Marion Gaborik moved.
That was probably one of the best returns that somebody got.
I was a little surprised. I think Matt Fratton's a nice thing to get him back, but how easily he came. Like there didn't seem to be much fuss in that trade. It was gonna be LA.
Gaborik's 32 years old and hasn't been great in Columbus.
He got hurt. Yeah, that was the thing.
He was hurt, but when he was healthy,
I don't think he's going to sign or was planning to re-sign in Columbus either, though. So
he's
it was
pulling up the stats for what he's had in Columbus.
Yes, sir.
He's played in Columbus less than 40 games.
I heard the numbers and they were unimpressive.
They aren't. 22 games this year, 6 goals, 8 assists, 14 points. But didn't he was out for a long time.
He was this season.
And then last year, 12 games, 8 points for the Blue Jackets, which was an off year too. But I think LA is a team where he could get back to form.
Certainly. There was a lot of players that moved today were seemingly salary dumps. You saw Hemsky go for a third and fifth round pick to Ottawa.
Looking at you, Lou.
Yeah. There you go, buddy.
How about David Legwand getting traded?
Yeah. That was a late day one, right?
Yes, that was the last trade of the day for Patrick Eves.
Kale Yarncruck.
Yeah. And a 2014 conditional pick. David Legwand returning to his hometown.
Wasn't that their first, like, ever draft pick?
Yes, he was. He was the first ever draft pick.
Now, do you think that's a big deal for, like, Nashville fans? Because, I mean, he was never, like, I think he was a little, he's a great second-line center, great defensive forward.
I think.
But he had never been, like, a superstar.
You know what I think it is?
Do you think it's on the level of, like, Ken Danico? Like,
no.
To Devils fans?
I'd say he's probably similar to a Ryan Callahan to the Rangers. And any Rangers fan who, after their trade today, is saying that they never appreciated Ryan Callahan or doesn't like Ryan Callahan is full of shit. And they have every reason to love Ryan Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't there. David Legwand probably still has another 5 years left in him. So it's not like you look at Ken Danico and go, you know, this guy just completely embodied the franchise for his entire career.
Plus, going to Detroit now.
The only difference is that they left. Had they both stayed there, then yes. But the only difference is that they left. That's all.
I mean, Legwand will probably have to make like zero transition into like getting comfortable with Detroit.
Funny how that goes when you go to Detroit.
real quick before we touch on the trade you just mentioned, Tim Thomas, 24 hours after Luongo gets traded, is out the door. Well,
did anybody hear any reasoning why Dallas acquired him?
Nope.
Backup. Purely
why?
Because he's better than Dan Ellis.
But I mean, Dan Ellis ain't bad. And
I have no idea. Thomas is not going to fight for the starting role.
Thomas is not the best backup to have, because generally you want a backup guy that's like a good guy in the locker room. The guy that will, you know, stay late and you let guys shoot on him. And Tim Thomas is a very, the only reason why he got to where he is now is because he's an incredibly selfish guy that,
He's going to fit in well.
Because he's always been the outcast. He's always had to fight his way onto teams. Like, nothing has ever been handed to him. So it's had to be him alone.
I
think is part of the reason why he has had problems, like, in Boston.
His only problem in Boston was that people didn't agree with the political stance he took.
He will.
Supposedly he lost the support of the locker room.
Yeah.
Because
it was Andrew Ferentz.
I heard beyond.
Super vocal.
Beyond. No, I mean, very few players are going to, speak out to the media about guys they don't like in the locker room. But from the rumors that I heard, from what I read, is that he kind of lost favor with most of the locker room, unfortunately.
Over what, though? Was it that instance?
I think just the way he was.
The way he carried himself, I heard that as well. He's going to fit in very well in that community, though.
It seems like
a type of place that Tim Thomas will thrive.
I can't remember if it was in our group text or if the one with to Steve that I said gun sales are going to spike, and it's only because Timmy buys in bulk.
He's got to fill up his new bunker.
Yeah,
certainly. Reto Barra went to Colorado.
Reto Barra,
whatever the hell you want to call him, he's not even American. Went from Colorado from Calgary.
Okay.
I don't even know what that had to do with anything. It just kind of came out.
Well, I didn't see this. Did you see Marcel Gotch
traded to Pittsburgh? That was an early trade.
Yes, that was.
I can't believe they got a third round pick for him.
That was
a third and a fifth.
That was the one that he went for a third and a fifth, right?
Yeah.
He went for the same thing that Aleš Hemsky went to Ottawa for, and
Lee Stempniak got a third round pick.
It was a head scratcher.
Hey, do you still have a? The thing you showed me yesterday about the Chris Brown thing with LA, the LA.
Oh, the LA trade tracker. I could bring that up.
This was pure comedy gold. Since we're on the subject of the just general trades, I figure this has to be used.
The other person's supposed to. All right. So, Martin Erat got what he wanted out of the Capitals.
Got the fuck out of Washington.
And he was traded to Phoenix with John Mitchell for Rostislav Klesla, Chris Brown, and a 2015 fourth round pick.
And what did the LA trade tracker have to say?
LA
about
trade
that?
Tracker, to recap, Erat requested a trade in November, scored 2 goals in 61 games, and just never seemed to fit in the Capitals system. The Capitals bring on Chris Brown, who has obvious skill. But they're worried about his temper. different Chris Brown.
I think Washington got a lot better with the deadline day.
They almost hijacked Anaheim. Just only a fourth round pick for Penner is insane. And I shouldn't say poor Anaheim, but how bad does Anaheim look? Because they made that deliberately to create space.
To try and get one of the other guys, Camilleri,
someone bigger, and it just never happened for him.
It's weird how it didn't work out. I mean, looking at what Thomas Vanek went for,
I know. You're gonna tell me we're not gonna give up a second round pick in the prospect.
But yeah. I mean,
or even since they were going so hard, just throw him a first.
Yeah,
you know, yeah,
probably would have gotten it done.
Washington Ed's Penner. Klesla and Brown, as you just mentioned.
Well, they traded off Klesla, I think, to Buffalo, right?
Yes.
In the Halak trade.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. But they had Halak, who's, I think, certainly, at least this year, is an upgrade at goaltender from what they were at.
Agreed.
So I think that that helps them a lot.
You know, a lot of people this year spoke about how well Jonas Enroth was playing. Do you think he's going to get a shot at all?
No. I don't think
he's.
I think he's not more than a backup. And Buffalo Zeiss. Yeah.
Which I never thought he was either, but I'm just kind of... The only reason I'm asking is because, you know, for all year you just heard about how well he was playing. And
well, I kind of thought...
Actually, how well both the Buffalo goalies were doing.
I thought heading into next year, I thought he would have been their starter. Just because if there's a reason, if there's a season that they don't want to be good, if they don't want to improve their team on it, would be that
Connor
season.
Motherfucking McDavid.
Exactly.
But to the
especially with the amount of picks they have, like you don't even need to be the worst. You don't even need to pick number one. You have so many assets that they could find a way to trade into that one spot if they really wanted.
No, nobody's giving up that one spot.
No way.
No way, baby. Come out. Man.
I don't think Buffalo has what it would take.
But I guess the biggest trade of the day was Ryan Callahan, a second-round draft pick in 2014 and a golden ticket in 2015 for Martin Saint-Louis.
So wait, I just want to pick on you for a second. You guess that that's the biggest trade of the day?
I don't know. I don't like to trade, so I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I think it's a great trade for the Rangers.
I think it's very
for right now.
I think it's terrible for Tampa Bay.
For right now.
It's a funny one to me. Usually you don't see a trade like that where it's almost great really really short term for the Rangers. It's really signifies that like all right, your window has started, but you only get this piece for 2 years.
Now I mean, I can see why Yzerman traded his captain because his captain forced the issue. But for the New York Rangers, you're sitting in second place in your division and you trade away your captain.
I mean, I think that's just the way Sather operates, where if you're not going to re-sign with the team, he's not willing. I mean, even if they're in a playoff spot. He's not willing to lose you for nothing.
I spoke to a Ranger fan way earlier. It may have even been in the summer, and they told me that they were talking about Lundqvist actually, and they were saying if he got to that deadline, he was going to be traded.
And from what I understand, the Rangers and Callahan were only $200,000 apart, but it was the no
really?
Trade clause.
Well, see, I had heard half a mil, but I
heard it got down to $200,000. But
I know he wanted a no move.
Yeah. And
they were not willing to budge on that.
And
you're also taking a guy that plays like that, you're taking a big risk signing a guy like that long term.
We saw in the Olympics that he was willing to block shots and play that really gritty style, even in the Olympics where he could have lost his NHL season. So, yeah, that is a big risk. I understand you want to get something for him now before he walks away for nothing, but I just think a stupid trade for both teams.
I disagree.
Both sitting in playoff spots and you trade away your captains.
I mean, if I'm the Rangers and I'm looking at this trade in a vacuum, even if it was just a one-for-one trade, as good as Ryan Callahan is and what he brings to the table, Martin Saint-Louis is a better player, and you're upgrading your team.
Yeah.
The guy does everything you could ask him to. He can play with anybody. He puts up points like crazy. It's an upgrade for sure.
No,
especially for a team that, for whatever reason, isn't the greatest offensively.
I'm on the air that, or you know, the side that, you know, I think the Rangers definitely, no question about it, got better. Again, I think it's a very short window. But one of my favorite tweets of the entire day was from Dan Rosen, and actually speaking against the Rangers here, where he put up, so there's a chance Yzerman got Callahan plus two first-round picks for San Luis. That's how badly New York didn't want to re-sign Callahan.
I really don't like giving up a first-round draft pick in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. Because not that either of those, not the Tampa Bay's
first. I mean, the Rangers weren't going to be competing for that.
Not the Tampa Bay's first or the Rangers first could turn into McDavid. But that gives Tampa Bay a lot more leverage where they could potentially trade two first to a team for their first, you know, that has more of a chance of being Connor McDavid. You know, maybe to Calgary or someone. I mean,
to what spot would they get with two low first rounders? They're not getting in. I don't think they're getting into the top five.
No, but you never know.
So, I mean, I mean, the Rangers are in a win now mode. Rick Nash isn't getting any younger. I wouldn't be surprised if Brad Richards gets bought out just because of his contract after this year. So, I mean, if there's time to make a big move, I think it would be now.
Well, It's not just San Luis only or being 38 and only having another year left on this deal. It really kind of signifies that they're in a win-now mode, but it's funny that it just seems like it's a very small window.
Does this trade put them...
I mean, nobody has a huge window.
No, but I usually anticipate probably about 3-4 years. I don't think the Rangers are opening up for any more than 2 right now.
I would give them 3 years.
You really?
Yeah.
Does this trade put them into that conversation with the top cup contenders?
I do think so.
I believe so. I think they made the right coaching change for a better fit with the team. And then
certainly with guys like San Luis and Nash.
Yeah, adding them to your top six. And then you always have Lundqvist in the back end. And you got a guy like Ryan McDonough back there too. So, I mean, I think they've got everything you would want.
Yeah, I think the only thing that they may be a little short on is puck moving D.
Mm. Yeah.
But outside of that... Listen, the Devils basically didn't have that outside of Zdlitsky 2 years ago, and they got them to the finals.
Everybody pitched in on that back end, did their part.
I think it's going to be tough for any team outside of Boston to really compete with the top teams in the West.
See, I think the Rangers are just as poised to do that as well as Boston is, if not better.
Yeah, no. I'd say they're on the same level.
I don't think so. Boston's got more of those type of players that the Western Conference teams have, the big guys.
I think you see a lot more speed and skill in the West. I think the Rangers fit that game a little better, especially in the forwards.
Oh, St. Louis has got like the third biggest team in the NHL. San Jose's got top five.
Yeah, but
San Jose isn't the most physical.
San Jose is not known for physicality by any stretch.
No, but they got those guys that run that cycle.
Your two teams in the West that are known for that are L.A. and St. Louis. Outside of that, I really don't see it being. No, Chicago's definitely not.
What I mean is that like teams like San Jose have those big guys that will run that cycle, which will grind down on your team.
See, I've just never looked at Joe Thornton and thought he was a guy that was a master of puck possession.
No, maybe not. Brent Burns, though.
Brent Burns is a good one, but he's about it. You know, they used to have the Klo. Klo is obviously probably a good one for that with them, but...
Pavelski's pretty good, but he's not the hugest guy.
To me, Pavelski's like a Taves, you know, kind of model. He's not a power forward. He's not... But he's great. But I don't think in any way does that remind me of the Boston Bruins lineup.
You know also, I mean? Too, looking at San Jose, looking at the top Western teams, San Jose's bottom six is definitely weaker than anybody else in the top of the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a great top six, but when you're looking up and down the lineup, I would say L.A., definitely L.A. and St. Louis are a better team up and down. And then I would probably put Chicago a little ahead of them, too.
I think I'd put Chicago a lot ahead of them.
No, in regards to their third and fourth lines.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like Quenneville's been able to squeeze a lot out of the third and fourth lines since he's been there.
Well, and it seems like it's always interchangeable parts, too. Like, it's never the same guys from year to year, almost.
Yeah. Well, that's what it seemed like after their first cup, forced to move those guys out.
Yeah.
And then they
almost did it again this year.
And then they took a few years, and they brought their bottom six back up to speed, and they just keep doing rinse and repeat, it seems.
What kind of chances do you think Chicago has of repeating?
I'd say pretty good.
Yeah. If there's a team that I think could go back-to-back again, I think it would be Chicago.
You know, it's funny. The more I think about the West, it's almost like...
The Western playoffs are going to be insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely unreal.
That's kind of where I was headed with that.
It's going to be terrific.
I mean, because I would say that
they have three legitimate heavyweight contenders. I think
with the improvements that San Jose or St. Louis made, LA Kings being LA Kings now with Marion Gaborik, you have Chicago.
That little guy, Jonathan Quick.
You've got Anaheim that's super hot. Oh, great. I mean,
by the way, the Rangers did add Rafi Diaz.
I did see a fifth round pick, right?
Yeah, for a fifth round pick. He's not terrible moving the puck. He's certainly an upgrade from what they've had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a nice little real steal quick, for
that,
them.
That was, I think, that was a late trade.
Yeah, that was one of those, like, end of the days.
That was the fourth one from the end of the trades. That, I thought, was a great pickup for them.
I mean, it's shrewd. It certainly addresses a need. Maybe not in the way you want it to, but I mean, they'd already swung for the fences earlier in the day, so and they got
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah. But sorry to cut you off. But.
No. That's it feeds to a point. As much as I hate to say it, I think the Rangers are for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, they they're certainly going to be a challenge. In the East, to come out of the East.
I don't mean to downplay Boston, but Boston to me hasn't done a lot to improve their roster over last year, and it's just that 1 year older, and eventually those long playoffs that they've had, they take their toll.
The reason they've made it so far in the playoffs the last few years is because they get in those long series and they just beat the hell out of you. Team's just bigger and stronger. But, yeah, you're right. They can't do it forever. They can't just keep going on that.
I don't, especially top six at this point, I don't think there's any question that the Rangers top six is better than the Bruins.
Yeah.
And the D is almost outside of Torrey Krug almost. The D.
Torrey Krug, Dougie Hamilton.
Hamilton
the D's almost identical.
Andre
Mazzaro
is now with the Bruins. They picked him up in a trade today.
That's going to depend largely on a resurgence by him.
Exactly. I think really the biggest obstacle for the Rangers will be to get past the Penguins.
Yeah.
To come out of that division.
I think they match up well against them.
I mean, they've lost to the Penguins at least twice in the recent years in the playoffs,
right?
Eventually they'll win one of them.
It's a different team now, though, too.
Yeah. I think one of those teams is a Sean Avery team.
Plus, Pittsburgh, again, like, where's their forward depth outside of their top six?
Well, DePuy is done for the year, isn't he?
Is he?
I believe so.
And also,
I know he's hurt.
I mean, their back end is still hurt too, right? Martin's out right now.
Yep.
You don't know when you're going to get Letang back.
If at all.
And that's the thing with Letang. They want to talk. He was even talking about coming back this year. Forget the hockey side of it for him. There is no reason to come back this year. Like, come on, buddy. Like, dude, you just had a stroke. Like, think about your life. Like, you don't want it. It's just not worth it.
Yeah. I hate to see the guy rush back and have something really, really serious happen to him.
Well, supposedly he's skating.
I think he needs to take it easy.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong about it, but I thought I heard that he's skating. That's
not a huge Chris Letang fan, but
neither
seriously.
Am I, but I mean, quite honestly, forget his own, of course he wants to come back. Everyone wants to get back to their normal life. So the Penguins, if they put him in the lineup, like, shame on them.
Yeah,
it's really no. It's not.
I don't think they will.
Yeah,
no, I don't think. I don't think they're going to let him do anything more than light skating.
Yeah, it'd be idiotic on their part and just stupid to think about him coming back.
It's kind of strange how thin Pittsburgh's looking right now. Actually,
well, I mean that it always comes to light though in the playoffs. It seems, and also too, you don't know what you're going to get in Marc-Andre Fleury this year. I mean, has he fixed his?
Demons.
His problems. Who knows?
So I don't know. You always worry about
Sidney Fleury. Crosby gives him all the support he needs to the media.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, it's great having the top two centers in the league.
Well, I mean, I'm talking verbally,
right? No,
Crosby
I know.
Always.
I was just.
Oh yeah.
But I think it kind of shows it's great for the regular season.
But when
everybody ratchets it up in the playoffs,
he doesn't seem to have another level.
You need to go beyond those top two lines.
I don't think he doesn't have another level. I think we've seen it in the regular season. I think you've seen him step up where he's just unbeatable, but he mentally cannot get there in the playoffs.
Well, you know, though, even the year that they won the Stanley Cup, his stats were actually were pretty subpar. It was actually the year they lost to Detroit that that was his big year where he was exceptional.
Yeah. What really hurt them today is not being able to really add any depth to their lineup.
Supposedly they went hard on Kessler.
Missed out on them.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest no deal of the...
Well, you know what I take out of that? And I want to touch on at Strombone1's tweet of told you so. Ryan Kessler tweeted that at Strombone1 there. But I just look at that and I go, okay, like, this is a vicious cycle. This is Vancouver literally repeating the whole Luongo thing, or I think at the start of it.
Yeah.
With Ryan Kessler now. If someone wants out, get rid of him because there's nothing good is going to come out of this.
Yeah. And it really seemed that
the asking price sounds like it's just once again way too high.
And I love what I had read a tweet the other day from a Kessler quote. Don't try and trade me to a Canadian team. I don't want to be in Canada anymore.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Wow.
And I love that American hero for that. I really never liked Kessler before that, but I read that and I was like, wow, I like this guy a lot.
Well, also, too, how many Canadian teams are even in a playoff spot right now? There's one?
Two. There were two, Montreal and...
I think, is Toronto in
and
right
Toronto
now?
Oh, that's right, Toronto. Both in a playoff spot. Winnipeg is only a few points out, I think.
It really seemed, though, that the top teams were really kind of waiting on Kessler to go somewhere before making a deal. And Mr. Gillis just could not... or was not willing to make a deal.
Yeah. Well, and let's touch on the fact that in the past, I don't know how many months it's been, but it's less than 12. Gillis has gotten rid of two goalies who are, you could consider, all-star goalies.
And it's proving that you didn't need to trade Corey Schneider.
The Luongo trade's got to make you look back at the Schneider trade more and go, we almost gave up Corey Schneider for Bo Horvat. Better pan out.
You could have held on to Corey Schneider for another year.
Yeah,
like you didn't have to trade him.
Montreal and Toronto currently sit 2 and 3 in the Atlantic Division. Rangers fell down to the third spot behind Philadelphia with their loss tonight. Philly won. Philadelphia and Toronto, the only two teams in the NHL sitting in a playoff spot with a negative goal differential. Philly's a -4 goal differential this season.
Well, that's not surprising.
No, their defense is awful.
It's suspect.
Andrew McDonald certainly helps that, but...
Yeah.
Potentially in a big way, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if he's really.
Well, I saw. I was reading an article where they looked at the advanced stats for McDonald, and I was kind of surprised that they were
good.
Pretty negative.
Really?
Yeah, like bottom in the league for Corsi and stuff like that.
Really?
Which I was surprised because I always thought he was a good player on a bad team, but the article was kind of talking about how he's incredibly overplayed. Like, his role should be more of a third-pairing defenseman than a top-pairing defenseman.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't think he's the top-pairing defenseman that Philly really needs to put them over the hump.
No, but I think he's probably certainly... You say he plays that third-pairing, he's probably certainly better than what they have to offer right now.
That's the thing, too. With Philadelphia, he will probably be forced to play a larger part than that,
of course.
Philadelphia defense has been... Mazzaros was having an awful season.
Yeah.
Luke Shen is... I mean, I was talking to some Fire
Shen
fans.
Luke Shen is a genuine bust.
I was talking to some Fire fans today, and they said they would give him up for nothing. They would give him away for free. That's how bad he's been. Tiemannin is 42 years old.
The Tiemannin, he's always good, but again, he's just another year older. Yeah.
But he's good and not great, and what the Philadelphia Flyers need
used to
is
be great. Not too long. Remember their run to the final, where it was just kind of like, okay, Chris Chemo, you take one half of the game, and then the other one, take the other half of the game. That was insane. Yeah. They were both playing 30 minutes a game. They just weren't even playing their third pairing.
Yeah, third pairing at all, and... It worked, but
it did.
They don't have that now.
No.
And how many player defensemen in the league could you really sign to take over that spot for them? You know, I mean, there's Shea Weber, who they went after hard a couple of years ago, and
they've got the cap space now.
Didn't yeah.
Well, and if you know Ed Snyder, he'll use it.
Yeah. Maybe trade for Shea Weber.
what do you trade?
You know, it's the Flyers. They'll trade whatever.
They'll trade
Couturier, maybe.
A small share of the ownership of Comcast.
Yeah. Which by the
just
way...
Just to the city of Nashville.
Which, by the way, the Penguins did give Mario Lemieux a contract in which they gave him an ownership stake in the team. It worked out well for him. His last contract, they couldn't afford to pay him, so they gave him...
It worked out well for him once...
Once the NHL fixed the draft lottery, yeah, and they got Sidney Crosby.
Once Sidney Crosby became a Penguin, I don't think it was working out so well for that before that.
No, but...
That's why he came out of retirement, wasn't it?
Yeah, to try and save the team.
Well, it was partly because he was losing so much money, I think.
Yeah.
But,
He Mario Lemieux, first player in NHL history to actually lose money on a contract. Wow. That's two podcasts in a row I've gotten one of those.
You're a real crack up, you know. You really give the fans what they want.
So I think this is a good time to wrap it up, would you say?
A good time to say our goodbyes.
Yep.
Sweet credit. Right. Anyway, so they played
I'm sorry, that was another podcast.
Real quick on Shea Weber. Kevin. Really, really struggling with... Nashville, well, not struggling. He's got 40 points, but minus 14 on the season. That's dude.
I mean, they're kind of missing.
I don't like it plus minus.
It's a stupid stat, but
I think it matters depending on the type of player you're looking at.
I think the only time it matters is if it's extremely high or extremely low. But it's so situational.
To me, if you're a defensive D and you have an okay plus minus, that. I'll take that as a good sign.
But I think you have to look farther than that at, like, quality of competition, you know, the minutes they're playing. Like, I don't think you can just look at plus minus. I think you should just throw it out. Just throw that stat out.
I agree to disagree, respectfully.
I mean, you don't have to.
Respectfully or disagree? Yeah.
Well, anything, really.
Either, really.
This is the Unnecessary Reference Podcast.
He's got 15 goals and 25 assists on a 7th place team in their division.
Who's that?
Shea Weber.
He's got 15 goals.
He's got 15 goals and 25 assists for a team that's only 500 right now, 26-10.
Well, he did have to play behind or in front of Carter Hutton and whoever else was backing him up, Devin Dubnyk.
Also traded today.
Yeah, for future
considerations.
He could have been had on waivers for free yesterday. Yeah. Anyway, Kevin, plug us here.
All right. We'll see you next week. You can find us on Twitter, thefner88, dgould26, and at crazykever, or the podcast is at URHockeyPod. We will see you soon.
Peace out, motherfuckers.